Chapter 1, The Fall. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Our ways may seem right to us, but things are not always what they seem. We begin the exchange course in the Garden of Eden with the fall of Adam and Eve. God had said, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." But Eve chose to go to the forbidden tree anyway, and Adam was with her, saying nothing. Their choices must have seemed right to them, but when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it became obvious that things are not always what they seem. The same temptations face us today that Adam and Eve faced in the garden. Will we be like them, choosing to lean on our own understanding? Will we fix our eyes and hearts on forbidden things and fall into sin? Or will we fix our eyes and hearts on God and experience His victory over temptation, sin, and death? Part 1, The Plan of God. Underlying everything that happened in the Garden of Eden was the gift of free will that God gave to Adam and Eve. God did not create Adam and Eve as puppets. They were free to eat from any tree in the garden. Only one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was off limits. God gave the choice to Adam and Eve, to believe Him or not to believe Him. To listen to Him or not to listen to Him. To obey Him or not to obey Him. There is no free will without choice. God didn't force Adam and Eve. He didn't coerce them. He didn't manipulate them or control them. He didn't trick them or trap them. Eve chose to say yes to the serpent and no to God of her own free will. And Adam chose to say yes to his wife and no to God of his own free will. Adam and Eve freely chose to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree, the tree that God had said would lead to death. And the result of their choice was death, just as God had said. God had said to Adam, "When you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will certainly die." God did not say, "If you eat from it." God knew what would happen, and He also knew that the price He would pay for giving free will to mankind would be the death of Jesus on the cross. But God chose to give mankind free will anyway. Free will is that important to God. The relationship between man's free will and God's sovereignty is a mystery. We know that free will is part of being made in God's image. What's amazing is that the God of the universe would give limited human beings the option of saying no to Him. Free will is one of the most precious gifts that God has given to us, and we need to treat it with the utmost respect. Part 2, The Schemes of the Serpent. The serpent was there in the garden with Adam and Eve. The serpent is also called Satan, the devil, the father of lies, and the enemy of our souls. We can come to two equally problematic conclusions about Satan. One is to deny that he exists, and the other is to focus on him. Satan is a powerful enemy, but he's not more powerful than God. God tells us that Satan is real, and that we should not be unaware of his schemes. But God also tells us that our eyes should be fixed on Jesus. The serpent's goal has always been to steal, kill, and destroy. In the garden, he used three crafty and powerful schemes to entice Eve to listen to him, to believe him, and to follow him instead of God. Eve fell for the serpent's schemes, and she led her husband to follow her into sin. The serpent's first scheme was distraction. "Look over here," the serpent whispered, "doesn't this fruit look good? Don't you want some? Just take a little bite." What a crafty scheme, so distracting and powerful. What a different outcome there might have been if Eve had chosen to listen to God and fix her eyes on Him, rather than listening to the serpent and fixing her eyes on the fruit that God had said was off limits. We need to be careful what we allow our eyes to focus on. What we allow our ears to listen to. What we allow our minds to think about, and what we allow our hearts to desire. God loved Adam and Eve, and He set healthy boundaries to protect them. But Adam and Eve chose to use their gift of free will to go outside God's protective boundaries. If something seems desirable, but God says it's off limits, we might want to remember that things are not always what they seem. How about you? What are your eyes fixed on? Whose voice are you listening to? Who, or what, is the desire of your heart? Are there areas of your life where you are rebelling against God and going your own way? The serpent's second scheme was deception. The serpent is called the father of lies, and deception is his native language. The power of deception is that we don't recognize when we're deceived. Our ways seem right and true to us, but when God sheds the light of his truth into the darkness of deception, the power of deception is broken. We are wise when we ask God to show us if there are areas of our life where we are deceived. Where we think that what we're believing is good and right and true, but it's not. Just because we think something is true doesn't mean it is. The most effective lie is closest to the truth, so it's important that we think about our thinking. If we don't align our thoughts with God's word, then we can be easily deceived. Eve didn't know God's word accurately, she didn't obey God's word, and she added to his word, saying, "And you must not touch it." Words are important. Words matter. God has given us his word in the Bible. God's word is true. It's eternal. It's living and active. The Spirit of God speaks to God's children through God's word, convincing us of its truth. Piercing our hearts. Giving us godly wisdom and understanding. God's word is powerful, and the enemy of our souls would like nothing more than to steal God's word from us. How about you? Does the Bible sometimes seem irrelevant, untrustworthy, or dead to you? Could it be possible that the enemy of our souls is stealing God's word from you through the power of deception? The serpent's first deception. The Garden of Eden was filled with all kinds of trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were two unique trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve knew that God had given her and Adam the freedom to eat from any of the trees in the garden, including the tree of life. The only tree that was off limits was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The first thing the serpent said to Eve was a question. Did God really say, "You must not eat from any tree in the garden"? The intention of the serpent's question was to plant seeds of doubt about God's word and tempt her to believe that God's word was not true. The serpent also wanted to plant seeds of doubt about God's character and tempt her to believe that God was not good. We don't know when Eve received God's command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know she hadn't been created yet when God gave the command to Adam not to eat from the forbidden tree. Maybe God told Eve later. Maybe God wanted Adam to be the one to tell her. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that in whatever way Eve received God's command, she knew she must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam also knew they must not eat from the forbidden tree. And Adam and Eve both knew God himself, because God walked with them in the garden every day. There might have been a very different outcome if Adam had intervened. There might have been a very different outcome if Eve had chosen to answer the serpent's question by replying, "Yes, God did say we must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when we eat from it, we will certainly die." I've never experienced death. But even if I don't know what death means, I know God. I know God is good, and he is wise, and he is loving, and he is kind. And I know that we belong to God, not to you, Mr. Serpent. So thanks for the offer, but no thanks. End of story. But that was not the end of the story. The conversation between Eve and the serpent continued. The serpent's second deception. The next thing the serpent said to Eve was, "You will not certainly die." This was a direct contradiction of God's word. The serpent was saying that God's word was not true, and that God was a liar. How brazen! How can something so obviously false be so powerfully effective? Even though Adam and Eve had never experienced death and were unable to fully comprehend the meaning of God's word, they could have believed that God's word was accurate and true. But their actions indicated this was not what they were believing. How about you? Are there parts of God's word that you don't understand and find hard to believe? How well do you know God's word? How well do you know God Himself? The serpent's third deception. The next thing the serpent said was, "God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened." This was a further attack on God's character. The implication was that God was withholding something good from Eve, and that God Himself was not good, otherwise He would open her eyes. The serpent was also tempting Eve to decide for herself what was good and to take control. To be strong and take care of herself so that she wouldn't miss out on something good. Eve must have believed that having her eyes opened would be a good thing. She must have believed that taking control would be a good thing. But it was not good. Up until then, Adam and Eve had only experienced the beauty of the garden, the goodness of God's presence with them, and the joy of their relationship with each other. They had not experienced evil, death, guilt, or shame. But when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened to a whole new reality, a whole new way of life, a whole new realm of experience that was not good. The serpent's fourth deception. The last thing the serpent said to Eve was that when her eyes were opened, she would be like God, knowing good and evil. All the trees in the garden were pleasing to the eye and good for food, but only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was desirable for gaining wisdom. Eve wanted to gain wisdom, she wanted to be like God. It must have seemed to her that knowing good and evil like God would be a wise thing to do. But it was not wise. It was very foolish. Only God is wise and powerful enough to handle the knowledge of good and evil. God's intention has always been to protect and guide His children. He tells us in His word what is good and right and true, and He has given us His Holy Spirit to enable us to believe Him, to trust Him, and to follow Him. How about you? Is there anything you believe God is withholding from you? Do you believe that God is good and wise, even when you don't understand what He's doing? Do you sometimes take control into your own hands? The serpent's third scheme was division. God had said that when Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree, they would certainly die. Death is division, which means separation of one thing from another. Physical death is separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. Although Adam and Eve didn't experience physical death immediately after eating from the forbidden tree, they experienced death in many other ways. They experienced spiritual death, which is separation from God. They experienced relational death, which is separation from each other. They experienced emotional death, which is separation from their feelings. And they experienced personal death, which is separation from the person that God created them to be. Adam and Eve experienced physical death for the first time when God killed an animal to provide a covering for their nakedness, guilt, and shame. What horror to witness physical death and begin to experience the terrible consequences of their sin. It was not until much later that Adam and Eve died physically. After they were driven out of the garden, Adam and Eve began to experience what life is like when we take control and live outside the place of God's protection and provision. Outside the place where God reigns. Our God is good. He drove Adam and Eve out of the garden so they would no longer be able to eat from the tree of life and live forever in a fallen state. Although Adam and Eve's relationship with God had been corrupted by their rebellion and sin, God did not abandon them. He covered their nakedness and went with them outside the garden. God had a bigger plan, an eternal plan, and that plan was to rescue Adam and Eve from their sin and provide a way for them to live with Him forever in a redeemed state. How about you? Are there areas of your life where you're experiencing spiritual, relational, emotional, or personal death because you're not believing God and His Word? Are there areas of your life where you are living outside the place of God's protection and provision? Outside the place where God reigns. Part 3: The Response of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree, not only did they themselves fall, but the belief system of the world also fell. Adam and Eve's sin and rebellion corrupted God's perfect creation and caused the whole world to come under a curse. There are four fundamental ways in which the belief system of the world fell, and the same fallen belief system operates in the world today. The first way the belief system of the world fell was self-righteousness. Self-righteousness says, "I will decide what is right." Adam and Eve chose to go their own way in rebellion to God's command. They leaned on their own understanding. They took control. Eve decided that the fruit of the tree was not only good for food and pleasing to the eye, but also desirable for gaining wisdom, even though God had said it would lead to death. Adam decided to go to the tree with Eve and say nothing. He also decided to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree that his wife offered him. Both Adam and Eve chose to do what was right in their own eyes. The second way the belief system of the world fell was idolatry. Idolatry says, "I will listen to others rather than God." Eve was not focused on God when she went to the forbidden tree. Her eyes, her ears, her heart, and her mind were focused on the fruit of the forbidden tree and the words of the serpent. Eve listened to the serpent, she was deceived, and she fell into sin. Adam was not deceived by the serpent, but he fell into sin by listening to his wife rather than to God. God deserves first place in our hearts. He is all-knowing, all-wise, and all-loving. He rightfully commands that we should have no other gods before Him. He wants our whole hearts and our undivided devotion. The third way the belief system of the world fell was guilt. Guilt says, "I will blame someone." When Adam and Eve leaned on their own understanding and made their own decisions apart from God, the result of their sin was guilt. The way they handled the guilt of their sin was to blame others. Adam blamed his wife for giving him the fruit from the forbidden tree. He also blamed God for having given his wife to him. Eve blamed the serpent for deceiving her. Neither Adam nor Eve took responsibility for their choice to eat from the forbidden tree. The fourth way the belief system of the world fell was shame. Shame says, "I will hide in fear." The result of Adam and Eve blaming others rather than acknowledging the guilt of their sin was fear, shame, and hiding. Adam and Eve ran away from God. They sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves in the mistaken belief that they could cover their nakedness and hide their shame from God. How about you? Are there areas of your life where you are deciding for yourself what is good and right? Are you fixing your eyes on other things and listening to other people rather than God? Are you quick to blame someone? Are you trying to hide who you are from God and other people? Part 4: The Plan of God. The good news, the gospel, is that God had a plan. From the beginning to the end, God had a plan, and that plan was Jesus. When God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, He was protecting them. God's plan was bigger than Adam and Eve, and more powerful than their sin. Here in the Garden of Eden, where the battle between mankind and Satan began, God started to unveil His eternal plan of salvation. Evidence of God's plan is revealed in the garden in three important ways, and each of these ways points to Jesus. The first way God began to reveal His plan was when God said, "He will crush your head, and you will strike His heel." Although the wording is veiled, the rest of the Bible makes it clear that God was referring to the cross. The cross is the ultimate expression of the truth that things are not always what they seem. When Jesus was crucified, it seemed He had lost the battle, and Satan had won. But when Jesus rose from the dead, He demonstrated to all creation that He was the victor over Satan, sin, and death. Satan struck the heel of Jesus on the cross, but Jesus crushed Satan's head. The second way God began to reveal his plan was through the garments of skin he provided to clothe Adam and Eve. God rejected their self-righteous attempt to cover themselves with fig leaves, but he didn't leave Adam and Eve naked and ashamed. God made garments of skin to cover them. In order to obtain these garments, an animal had to die. The wages of sin is death, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. This was the first death that resulted from the sin of Adam and Eve. The death of an innocent animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve and provide the way for God to grant them his forgiveness is a picture of Jesus, the innocent Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sins of the world. The third way God began to reveal his plan was by driving Adam and Eve out of the garden and placing cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. God didn't want Adam and Eve to continue to have access to the tree of life and live forever in a fallen state. But in the book of Revelation, the tree of life is there in the new earth that God will create at the end of time. Jesus is the way back to the tree of life and the way back to God. Jesus is God's way. Deciding for ourselves what is right is not God's way. Listening to others instead of God is not God's way. Dealing with the guilt of our sin by blaming others is not God's way. Hiding in fear and shame is not God's way. Our ways may appear to be right to us, but Jesus is the way. Our ways may appear to be true to us, but Jesus is the truth. Our ways may appear to be life to us, but Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Part 5. Closing Thoughts. When Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan in the Garden of Eden, they fell into sin. But when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he was victorious. Being tempted is not sin. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. Temptation is an opportunity to put our faith in Jesus and to receive his forgiveness and cleansing when we sin, so we can move forward to serve God with a clean conscience. Choices provide opportunities to trust Jesus at a deeper level. You might never have looked at choices that way, and this perspective might be a paradigm shift for you. Are you willing for your thinking to be challenged? Are you willing to look at yourself, God, and life in new ways? Because things are not always what they seem. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for providing healthy boundaries for me. I don't always like them, but I know you have given them to me out of your loving heart to protect and guide me. Thank you for your gift of free will. Help me to use it wisely to honor and bless both you and others. I don't want to be distracted from giving you my undivided attention and complete devotion. I want my eyes to be focused on you and not on the enemy of my soul, or on forbidden things, or on other fallen people. I don't want to be deceived. My heart itself is deceptive, and the power of deception is that I don't even recognize when I've been deceived. I invite you to search my heart and show me what is good and right and true. I don't want to be divided from you and other people. I want to run to you and not away from you when I sin. Help me to receive your forgiveness and cleansing for the many times I fail you and other people. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you that he has provided the way for me to live with you, here on earth every day, and one day to live with you forever in heaven. I open my mind and heart to you. Teach me your ways. I need you. In your Son's precious name I pray. Amen.